Orleans. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Singer Margie Perez is generous to a fault. When Perez wrote her first song, she thought it belonged to somebody else.
I was singing it to people, like, you know, do you know this one? You know, and they were like, I think this is your song. Like, you know, this isn't anybody else's.
Perez now has two albums of original material, including her latest called Love Is All. She writes pop songs and funk songs and blues songs, but her heart lies in Latin rhythms. Perez's musical sensibilities are rooted, along with her extended family, in Cuba.
The dream is to open up a little beach bar where I can book myself.
Singer Margie Perez, after the break. For as long as anyone can remember, music in New Orleans has had a Latin tinge. That's what Jelly Roll Morton called it way back in the 1920s and 30s. And music lovers can still hear it today. New Orleans rhythms place the city as the northernmost capital of the Caribbean. And when Margie Perez moved to town in 2004, the city began sounding more Latin than before. Is the daughter of Cuban immigrants to the United States, who gave her heart to New Orleans. Since then, she's racked up a long list of collaborations that have demonstrated unusual versatility in music. She sings the blues, R&B, funk, West African sacred music, jazz fusion, Afro-Cuban songs, and tight group harmonies. In what seems a short time, Perez has released two solo albums, including her latest, Love Is All. And she's built up an awful lot of goodwill among musicians here. Perez was a favorite of Alan Toussaint and blues queen Marva Wright. And she's also performed with Leono Santelli, Stanton Moore, Dr. Michael White, Papa Molly, and others. Who knew that what they needed was a little la-la?
My baby, he got the notion that he don't got my devotion. So he took all his dinero and went to marry Lavo. She said, you get that mojo working. She'll say, oh, baby, la, la, la. He slipped me the potion. My head, it swim like the ocean. It filled my heart with emotion and put my body in motion. And when he got that mojo working, I said, ooh, baby, la, la, la. It's just the way that you haunt me. Ooh, baby, la, la, lets me know that you want me. Ooh, baby, la, la, you kiss me, I wonder. Ooh, baby, la, la, what's the spell that I'm under? Ooh, baby, la, la, you get that mojo working. I say, ooh, baby, la, la, la. So if your love's unrequited, or if he don't get excited, well, there's one thing left to do. You hook him up with some voodoo. And when you get that mojo working, he'll say, oh, baby, la, la, la. It's just the way that you haunt me. Ooh, baby, la, la, lets me know that
That's Margie Perez performing right here at Marini Recording Studios in 2016. When we spoke with her during that interview, we asked, what's the la-la in Ooh Baby La-La?
You got to get your mojo working and you'll be clued in.
Now, is it true that that's the first song you ever wrote?
Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about that, because I heard that you weren't sure whether you wrote it or not.
Right. Yeah. It was my first trip to New Orleans. I came here for Jazz Fest.
And so your first Jazz Fest was what, 1994 or something like that?
Yeah. I came to Jazz Fest for like 10 years before I moved here. And I was listening to just the rhythms and everything. And then I started singing this song as I was leaving, you know, at the airport. And then when I got back, I was singing it to people, like, you know, do you know this one? You know, and they were like, I think this is your song. Like, this isn't anybody else's. So finally I was like, okay, well, maybe I should write it, because I just had the chorus at the time, you know, and like, everything here is, you know, either a Hey Pocky Way or a Who Shot the La La or you know, just, you know, Look a Pie Pie, all that. So Ooh Baby La La just fit right in.
It sure did.
I didn't even know it, but I wrote a song about New Orleans, for New Orleans. It started my songwriting.
And so that's so interesting, because an awful lot of people say that they wrote songs from the time they were children, for instance. But you didn't.
No, I started everything really late, even singing.
And so you, when you were growing up, what did you imagine that you were going to do?
Well, I was a travel agent up until I moved to New Orleans, actually. So as I was growing up, I listened to a lot of music, but I didn't have a career in music on my mind at the time when I was growing up.
Okay, so my understanding is that your folks came to the United States in the late 50s, like 1959?
Yes.
Is that correct? From Cuba.
Right.
And where in Cuba had they been living?
They lived in Havana. My father's aunt, my great aunt, was a cook in the embassy, the Cuban embassy in Washington. And my parents wanted to, especially my dad, wanted to come to the United States. So they came, and it was before the revolution.
Before the fall of Batista.
Yeah. And so when everything went down, they were here. And so they've been here ever since.
Ever since. And so now, what were your parents doing for a living in Havana?
Well, my dad was a bartender. He was a bartender all my life, you know, growing up. And I'm pretty sure he was doing that down there. And my mom, she eventually became a manicurist. And, but you know, I should ask her about that. What were you guys doing?
You've got to fill in your history.
Yeah, exactly. Like for that Wikipedia page, you know.
True.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My parents, you know, there are a lot of Cuban immigrants that were coming to the United States, and, you know, most of them went to Miami in hopes that they'd be able to go back. My parents, when they left Cuba, they were like, we are coming to the United States, and we're going to establish our lives here. We're going to learn to speak English and, you know. And so we actually lost a lot of our Spanish. And as I was growing up, my parents, they were pretty self-sufficient. You know, and looking back, I'm really impressed with how they handled themselves. You know, that's pretty impressive. Yeah.
It's very impressive. So when your folks came to the Washington area, were there other Cubans in the area?
There were like four families, you know, Cuban families that we grew up with in Lewisdale, Maryland.
In Lewisdale.
And like our weekends were, we would all get together. The kids would play downstairs. The parents would be upstairs or vice versa. But aside from them, I grew up in a pretty much suburban neighborhood. I think there were maybe like two African-American families, an Italian family, and everybody else was, you know, white. And I actually didn't, this is a funny story. I didn't know that I was a person of color. Only because, I mean, I knew it, but I didn't know it. Like, I think this was either first or kindergarten or first grade. They had us draw a picture of ourselves, and I didn't color myself in. And one of the kids was like, you're not white.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, oh, well, you know, because I was spending more time on trying to get the pigtails right, you know, on the picture. And, you know, like, but yeah, but so I just kind of grew up in you know, a Ozzy and Harriet kind of, you know, atmosphere.
Are you an only child, or were there a number of you?
I have an older sister, 5 years older.
Okay. And so when you think about your household, you know, as a child growing up, were you listening to music? Was the family listening to music?
I got a really great education growing up in the 70s. You heard all kinds of music on the radio. You know, the same radio station would play everything. And my sister was listening to the Beatles and to the Rolling Stones. And then when the whole new wave thing came along, you know, she was listening to the Police. And I just followed all that. But with the Beatles, I think I pretty much listened to every one of their albums from beginning to end over and over and over and over. And, you know, like the White Album and you know, Sgt. Pepper's. And they'd way broken up by this time, you know, but getting these records and listening to them, it was like they were new, like they were just released.
I read the news today, oh boy. 4,000 holes in Blackburn, Lancashire. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to be free. This one stays at home and does his pretty face, and in the evening she's a singer with a band. Yeah, over me, over down, life goes on. La la, 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 life goes on. Yeah, over me, over down, life goes on. La la, 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 life goes on. And if you want some fun, take go bla-dee-ba-da.
But I remember those days, you know, and every week Casey Kasem would come on with America's Top 40, you know.
Oh, yes.
Casey's Coast to Coast, American Top 40.
And then there would be some kind of a trivia question, you know, and invariably the answer was the Beatles.
Well, now let's answer that question from Tennessee. It's from Steve Vinson, who lives in Cookeville. And here's what he writes. Dear Casey, I would like to know what song took the biggest jump to the number one spot. Well, Steve, it was a Beatle hit back in 1964. Can't Buy Me Love went from number 27 to number one. The biggest leap any hit ever took into the top spot.
You know, it's because of Casey Kasem. I'm one of those people who has really weird trivia in my head, you
yes.
know, and it's and I you know, I credit Casey Kasem for that. But at the same time, my mom was listening to Latin music. So, like, on Saturdays when we're cleaning the house, she would have on Celia Cruz. So I grew up with that, but it was just my mom's music. Like, you know, housekeeping music, really.
Oye, mi socio, no esperes que yo te lleve esa sopita en botella.
Well, that's not a bad sounding household, actually, if you've got the Beatles and the Rolling Stones going on some days of the week, and Celia Cruz on other days of the week. I mean, that sounds like a gold standard, actually, of popular music. I mean, who doesn't love Celia Cruz?
Right.
You know, the great Cuban phenomenon.
Yeah. Celia Cruz, especially the album she did with Johnny Pacheco, that one was on heavy rotation. So the song Quimbara is probably my favorite song by Celia Cruz, and it's on that record.
Quimbara. What does that mean?
I think it's kind of like Ooh Baby La La. It's just a percussive word, you know? Quimbara, Quimbara, Kumba, Quimbamba. It sounds like the, you know, the congas.
Quimbara, quimbara, quimbamba. Ay, lo baila María también, Joséito, quimbara.
actually recorded that song, didn't you?
Yes. I put together a tribute to Celia Cruz last year, and the band had such a great response that we were able to do an on-air appearance on WWOZ, and they recorded it.
La rumba me está llamando. Bobo, dile que ya voy.
It's always been inside of me, and you know, and it just she was just waiting to come out.
Yeah. Your inner Celia Cruz.
Yes, exactly. My inner azúcar.
That's Margie Perez and Sula Evans with their group Muévelo. The word quimbara defies easy definition, but in Spanish, Muévelo means move it. Coming up, when Madonna met George Orwell. Stay tuned. This is a rebroadcast of Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Singer-songwriter Margie Perez moved to New Orleans in 2004 and says she'll never leave. Here she is with a song called I'm In Something.
Well, the sun is shining, birds in the trees, chirping a concerto just for me, and I ain't got a care in this world. There's a smile on my face and I say, what's this? You'll find me somewhere between Nirvana and bliss. I guess I'm just a lucky girl.
But Margie Perez retains the option to travel. For many years, she worked as a travel agent.
In fact, in 1 month, I went to Australia, Cancun, and New York, all on free tickets on Continental Airlines. I guess I've always just had this wanderlust, you know, and to be able to travel with either free tickets or on what they were calling fam trips, where you would fly, have a hotel, and get some dinners and stuff, you know, they call them familiarization tours. So travel agents.
Oh, I thought it was family. We got a family pack situation. You'd have to like hire people to pretend to be your kids and stuff. Okay. So fam travel, you say?
Fam trips.
Fam trips. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so they would send you to some new place so that you ultimately, hopefully, would recommend to your clients that they go to those places,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And so where'd you go on these trips where they were, you know, wining you and dining you and.
There were a lot of them, like to Europe. I went to London and Paris. But I also went to Omaha, Nebraska for a day.
Well, that's the Paris of the Midwest.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. I actually had a map on my wall, and I would put little pinpoints on places that I've been and places that I want to go to. And I've been to Cuba many times already, and I really... Now that it's going to be easier and more legal to go, I'm definitely going to start spending a lot more time there because I have so much family there.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just Havana, you know, it's a big island and it's a beautiful island. It's got everything, you know, beaches, mountains and everything in between. And I just want to get as much of that country as I can.
Yeah. It's interesting how your story is shaping up, you know, I mean, in the sense that you start off listening to a good deal of Cuban music as well as classic rock, as they say. Growing up, you become a travel agent. You start seeing the world. And then one day you actually walk into a karaoke bar.
And that is exactly how it happened. I was signed up to do karaoke without my knowledge.
Oh,
my coworkers.
Or consent.
Right, yeah. It was more of that.
Okay.
And so when I heard my name, I was like, all right, I'm doing this.
And so what was the song?
Like a Virgin.
Of course it was. touched for the very first time.
Exactly. And I knew the words. So it was easy.
With no disrespect to Madonna, of course. But you had been hearing throughout your life some amazing music.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's very interesting in a psychological sense how Like a Virgin would change your life. Can you give us a verse?
Okay, let's see. I made it through the wilderness. Somehow I made it through. Didn't know how lost I was until I found you. I was beat, incomplete. I was sad. I was sad and blue, but you made me feel. Yeah, you made me feel shiny and new. Like a virgin. Hey! Touched for the very first time. Like a virgin. With your heartbeat next to mine.
Done like a champ. Miss Perez.
Mm-hmm.
And so this made you feel that a door opened.
Well, there was a girl that I worked with who was there, and she was in a band. And so after we were done, she said, you know, we're looking for a backup singer. Do you want to join our band? This was in the electronic days, you know, like when synth pop was starting to make its way into the world. And it was a band called Then There Were None.
That's a good name.
Yeah. And the reason they were called Then There Were None is because when they would lose a musician in the band, they would replace them with a machine.
Oh, my goodness.
So eventually it was Bev and a keyboard, Bev Stanton, and her husband at the time, John, was the lead singer.
Margie Perez, that is a chilling story. Right, on so many different levels.
Right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. The idea, I mean, this has unfortunately become the paradigm of the American workforce. I mean, the fact that you begin with all of these live people, you know what I mean, with hopes and dreams and skin and blood, and then one by one, they're eliminated and replaced by machines. This is Orwellian. All right, this is really...
But you know, but them being called Then There Were None just made it even more, you know, just
exactly.
appropriate. But yeah, it was, we were performing live, working on original music. And so they let me come in and write my own background parts. And that eventually gave me enough, maybe not courage, but I wound up joining another band. And this group was doing more like Afro pop, and they were called Big Village. And they would go to Jazz Fest every year.
Here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
The New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival.
Yes.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
Yes. And so they were like, you haven't been to Jazz Fest? You haven't been to New Orleans? Oh my God, you have to come with us. And I saw Alan Toussaint for the first time. And what was really cool was that a friend of mine brought me over. And he said to me, pay attention. This is the most important man in New Orleans music. And I was sitting there, I'm like, oh, he wrote that song? He wrote that song? He wrote that Pointer Sisters song?
Now's the time for all good men to get together with one another. Honor their problems and honor their quarrels. Try to live as brothers and try to find peace within without stepping on one another. Respect of the women of the world. Just remember we all had mothers. And make this a land, a better land, and a world in which we live. And help each man be a better man with the kindness that you give. And I know we can make it. I know darn well we can work it out.
And so how long did it take you to actually meet Alan Toussaint?
I met him in 2007.
So it took a while.
Yeah, yeah.
It took a while. If you're coming down in 1994,
yeah.
You know? My understanding is that the universe kind of untethered you when you were living in the Washington, D.C. area.
Right.
And you were sort of free to make a big change in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that at all?
I I've been going to Jazz Fest every year for like 10 years. And then I'd just gotten divorced and I needed a change. And I had a friend who had moved to New Orleans. I was talking to him and I said, I don't know, I just need something different, you know. And he said, well, why don't you move to New Orleans? One of my tenants in my house is leaving. And so I did. And I had a place to live and I was already in a band before I had a job. So I knew that the universe was working itself out just right. You know, if I'm in a band, then I got a place to lay my head. All the rest will fall into place.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. And so what were you singing back then that made these kinds of relationships with local musicians possible?
Well, I love all kinds of music, especially songs by other people, you know, and you get to do a lot of that here in New Orleans. So my first gigs under my own name, I had a few songs of my own that I'd written, but I was like, okay, we got to fill 3 hours.
Are you serious? How many songs fill up a 3 hour set?
Usually like, maybe like 30.
30?
Yeah, you can do like 10 songs in an hour. And so, so I've got a few of my originals, but then I wanted to do covers that not everybody does.
Okay.
And so I could start an Alan Toussaint cover band very quickly because there were so many of his songs that I learned and the meters and there's just a lot of really fun New Orleans music that you can cover and people will dance. And that's, you know, that's really what you want is a packed dance floor.
That's so true.
You know,
that's true.
I've sat in with a lot of groups and you know, sometimes I'm invited. Other times I say, can I sing with you? And, you know, it's always a yes, which is nice. And so with my song, Ooh Baby La La, it was originally written as a 12-bar blues.
That's how you put it, y'all. Come on.
And so I could say to anybody, let's do a 12-bar blues in D with a second line kind of feel. And I'd be able to do it. I've even done that song with George Porter.
George Porter Jr., the bassist?
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Right.
12-bar blues in D with a second line feel.
Being able to sit in and do an original song, it gives you a little more street cred.
Well, you know, it's interesting you should talk about a 12-bar blues because you sing another song that's a blues song that is just, I just think it's a phenomenal song, Back to Your Blues.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to pry into your business, as they say, but how did that song come to you?
I like to write songs about, like, I find humor in tragedy when
yeah.
it comes to my love life. And so I, you know, the song is pretty much about somebody saying, you know, what comes around goes around. And I know this because it happened to me. And now it's going to happen to you because of what you did to me. And I was probably in one of those moods cursing somebody, saying that's going to happen to them, you know. But that's how that one came about.
That's a good one. It's good storytelling.
Yeah, it's just either my adventure or someone else's adventure. But it eventually becomes my adventure by the end of the song.
That's it. Well, the lovely and talented Billy Franklin joins us. He is, he
yes.
works with you. He's a guitarist. And he happens to have brought his guitar. And so I'm wondering if you might be interested in singing the song for us.
Sure.
What goes around comes around. Yeah, I'm telling you. What goes around comes around. I know this to be true, 'cause it came around to me, baby. As soon as it's gonna come down on you, can't help but think back on the love
He was so good to me, but I was so, oh, oh, so bad. But when he had enough, he packed my bags and he set me free. And he set me free. And when the screen door hit me, here's what my baby said to me. What goes around comes around. Yeah, I'm telling you. Comes around, I know this to be true, 'cause it came around in me, baby. Soon it's gonna come down hard on you. Around, goes around, comes around, goes around, comes around. Yeah, oh, goes around, comes around, goes around, comes around, goes around. Yeah.
Nice.
Back to your blues.
Margie Perez. Now, this is on your Sing for My Supper album, right?
Uh-huh,
that's
yeah.
Is that your debut solo album?
Yes. Well, yes. It's my New Orleans debut.
Let's go to the lyrics then. You know what I mean? How do you approach, you know, a blues song? Does the opening line come to you first, or
pretty
the
much
situation,
with every song that I've written, the chorus comes first.
You know, it's interesting because I saw some video of Son House, you know, the wonderful blues singer, and he was very adamant, and he said, the blues can only mean one thing.
Blues is not a plaything like people think they are. Like youngsters today right now, they take anything and make the blues out of. Just any little old jump, something other, and say, this is the such and such a blues. No, it's not. Ain't but one kind of blues, and that consists between male and female that's in love.
Is that how you see the blues? That they, you know, it has to be situational between two people.
Yeah. I mean, if you're telling a story, you know, they say most songs are either about women or heroin. Somebody told
me
that
once. That's pretty much how I divide up my record collection.
And, you know, you can sing the blues about both of those. You know, I haven't written about heroin
in a long time.
I do mention it in one of my songs, but you know, it's just kind of a throwaway line. But when I play Jazz Fest, they put me in the blues tent, which was awesome.
Yes.
But I don't really look at myself as a blues artist. Because I'm all over the place.
Well, talk a little bit about Marva Wright, who was such a wonderful blues singer from New Orleans.
I'm a bluesiana mama. Yeah, I'm coming to your town.
And she was displaced after Katrina to the Maryland area, actually.
Yeah.
And all. But she reportedly, you know, was a huge fan of yours.
We met when we both evacuated, and a friend of mine, Candy Collins, did a fundraiser for Marva. She gave Marva a gig, and so I was the opening act. And
how do you open for a woman who breathes fire?
I know.
Oh,
tell you, I was extremely intimidated, but she was so, just so sweet and just so complimentary. And she invited me up to sing with her on one of her songs. And just Marva, she was probably the first real powerhouse female singer in New Orleans that I got to meet and perform with. And I, to this day, will always regret not giving her the appreciation that I felt she deserved, because she gave me my first Jazz Fest gig. I sang backup for her at in 2006. But yeah, she was just a really neat lady. I mean, just that voice, my gosh.
Was the irreplaceable Marva Wright singing Bluesiana Mama. Wright died in 2010. Coming up, Margie Perez's Cuban Fantasy. Stay with us. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is a rebroadcast of Music Inside Out. Margie Perez is a musical omnivore. She can sing just about anything with a beat. Any beat. Perez says rhythm comes easily to her. Here's a song she wrote for an album with the all-female group, The Honey Pots. It's called Latin Girls.
If I'd known you were into Latin girls, I would have made my move. And if I'd known you were into Latin girls, I would have made you groove. Didn't know you were the kind who liked it with a little spice. I saw you with your new chiquita. She's looking pretty nice.
Do you think you'll ever make a Latin record? You know what I mean? A record in the Spanish language like Linda Ronstadt did, for instance, or Joan Baez. I mean, is that in you?
Well, I started off writing a song on my Love Is All CD in Spanish.
Is that Contigo?
Contigo. Mm-hmm.
What does Contigo mean?
It means with you.
Okay, and so what are the words? Can you say them for us?
Yes. It's, oye muchacho, ¿qué haces ahí solo? Which, you know, hey fella, what are you doing there by yourself? You know, con la tristeza que veo en tus ojos, déjame llevarte ahora mismo al lugar donde tienen ritmo. Which is, you know, why are you sitting there with sadness in your eyes? Let me take you to a place where you'll feel the rhythm. And then, hay un cafecito allá en La Habana. Disfrutamos si tienes gana. Which is, there's a little cafe in Havana. We can go if you feel like it. El ron está frío, la música caliente, y también son la gente. Is, the rum is cold and the music is hot and so are the people. And so, baila conmigo, dance with me. Quiero estar contigo, I want to be with you. Salsa conmigo, salsa with me. Quiero estar contigo, I want to be with you.
Oye muchacho, ¿qué haces ahí solo? Con la tristeza que veo en tus ojos, debe llevarte.
Baila conmigo y dime que te llamas. Salsa conmigo y dime que me amas. They rhyme wonderfully. And what it means is, dance with me, tell me your name. Dance with me, tell me you love me. And, you know, what else do you need?
You're right. That is pretty much all you need.
Yeah, you know. Just get on the dance floor, fall in love, and, you know.
Baila conmigo y dime que te llamas. Salsa conmigo y dime que me amas. Baila conmigo y dime que te llamas. Salsa conmigo y dime que me amas. Baila conmigo y dime que te llamas. Salsa conmigo y dime que me amas. Baila conmigo y dime que te llamas. Salsa conmigo y dime que me amas. Baila conmigo y no venga conmigo. Salsa conmigo como baila. Qué rico.
Wouldn't it be cool if you actually did contigo in Cuba and found the person of your dreams there?
Well, oddly enough, my ex-husband is a Cuban. We met in Cuba. So I've already gone that route.
Yeah, well, okay, that story's out.
So, that Hollywood ending.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, have you performed in Cuba on your visits?
Not yet. It will happen. When I go down there, I feel so welcome, and I am a member of the family for sure.
How did your parents meet?
You know, I think they were like family friends. You know, my parents split up when I was 16, you know, and it took my mom a while to be able to talk about Cuba. You know, they left in 59, they went back for a couple of years, and then they left again. And she wasn't able to come back to Cuba for another 20 years.
Mm.
And so when I would get her to talk about Cuba, it really hurt her because she was the youngest of nine. And so for her to leave this big family and come to the States and then to not be able to see them, you know, even to this day, I mean, she goes and visits a lot, but it's always when she leaves, there's always this sadness, this bittersweet, you know, that, and I feel it too when I go, but I really want to go down there and start meeting more musicians and, you know, kind of do the way I did it when I first moved here. Just, you know, I mean, I'm never going to leave New Orleans.
Like, really?
I have a house and I intend to live out the mortgage, you know, but I would also like to spend more time in Cuba, just, you know, meeting people, introducing myself, sitting in with them, and just, you know, that's what I'd like to do in Cuba. And like the dream is to open up a little beach bar where I can book myself.
Yes, you know, yes, on good terms.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so what is it that roots you here? Why do you have only one move in you, one big move in you?
Because I love it here so much, in spite of the warts, you know, is this still a beautiful witch, you know?
What a great line.
I just came up with that.
That's pretty great. I thought, wow. Yeah.
You know, it's just, this is where I was supposed to be. I mean, D.C., I grew up there. I've got a really great community of friends there. But here, I've found my place. You know, and when I go to Cuba, I love it. I love the excitement. I kind of have this tug that, like, I'm supposed to be there too, you know. And I think maybe because New Orleans is the northernmost Caribbean city, it's in my blood.
I actually do want to tug you back to this area because you did a beautiful song called "A Song to the River."
Mm-hmm.
What prompted you to write that song?
I love water, and hanging out on the Mississippi, you know, whether you're in the French Quarter or further up, you know, like the Crescent Park, and I sometimes I'll just go there like as the sun is setting, just to kind of sit and gather my thoughts, and you know, I just like hearing the water and the big ships going by, and you know, you've come up with a story of what's on the ship, and the little cute little tugboats are pushing a giant barge, you know. And so I was like, I'm going to write a song about the river. With that one, it was the first line of the song that came to me. You know, I sing a song to the river and she sings it back to me. So that's my love song to the Mississippi.
It sounds like, you know, Langston Hughes meets Maya Angelou.
Wow. Thank you.
I sing a song for the river, to the river, and it sings back to me. Yes, that's it. Your guitarist is with us, Billy Franklin. And I just want to reiterate that we're talking to Margie Perez here at Marini Recording Studio. And we're going to hear "A Song to the River."
Mm-hmm. I'll sing a song to the river, and she sings it back to me. I'll sing a song to the river, and she sings along with me. From 10,000 lakes to New Orleans, the prettiest thing you've ever seen. I have a dance with the river, and she dances with me. I have a dance with the river, and sometimes she takes the lead. From 10,000 lakes to New Orleans, the prettiest thing you've ever seen. Well, you can cry and she won't mind your tears. Pray when you think you can't go on no more, no. Wait in the muddy, muddy water. Take a ride to the other side. Try to get to the other side. See? To the river, sing, sing. Sing to the river, I see. To the river, sing, sing, sing to the river. I'm going down to the river, if you want to go with me. I'm going down to the river, where my spirit needs to be. The tale she'll tell as she sways and swells about the trip she took on down to New Orleans. The prettiest thing you've ever seen. The river, sing, sing, sing to the river, I sing, oh, I sing. To the river, sing, sing, sing to the river, I sing, I sing. To the river, sing, sing. Sing to the river, I sing. I sing to the river. Sing, sing, sing to the river.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Man, the Mississippi can really deliver, can't it?
Wow, that's
so
a compliment.
I want to thank you so much for, you know, me for joining us. You've been wonderful.
Well, thanks.
Singer-songwriter Margie Perez joined us at Marini Recording Studio. Her latest album is called Love Is All. And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show is produced by Lynette Johnson, Garrett Pittman, Jason Rhine, and Margaret House. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. For more information about Margie Perez and a complete playlist of the songs in this show, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. And we want to hear from you.
So please like us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Rosa Mary Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Studio, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax-deductible, thanks to our partnership with the National Performance Network. For more information on how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.
I'm going down to the river.